God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
On today's program, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino continue their exploration of the Book of Daniel. It's part of an 8-program series that will end November 2nd. This is one of the most important books of prophecy in the Bible. Here's Brother Hutchings with information about it.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. The Book of Daniel is one of the, if not the most important prophetic books in the Bible. It precedes the Book of Revelation, and the Book of Revelation is a more detailed description of where the Book of Daniel ends. You know, we read that Daniel was told to seal up the book until the time of the end when knowledge would increase. Certainly, the knowledge has increased today. And before this time, we could not understand the complete interpretation of the Book of Daniel, because we're living in the days just preceding what is going to happen in the Book of Revelation. Daniel was told that people wouldn't understand all this book until the very time of the end, when knowledge of all these things that were presented in this book was made known. Actually, in our lifetime, we began to understand the import and the things that Daniel said would come to pass in the end of the age. And Brother Jerry will tell you how to get a copy of my book on Daniel at the close of the program today. Now, yesterday we began a study of chapter 1, and we're going to continue today in chapter 2. Now, as we brought out yesterday, Israel was overrun by the nation of Babylon. That was to the east of Jerusalem, probably close to 1,000 miles, there by Baghdad. Just to the west of Baghdad, about 60 miles, is the location where the old city of Babylon stood. The ruins of Babylon are there in evidence. The main gate, the Ishtar Gate, part of it is still there. The Germans made off with the upper part of it, and it is in a museum in Berlin. But the lower part is just fantastic. You could not believe. The city of Babylon must have been a fantastic city. It had walls around it that were maybe 100 feet high and 80 feet wide, and the gates were just magnificent. The river run through the city, and we read that at Babel, they burned the bricks thoroughly. And you can look at those bricks that made up the city of Babylon. Just amazing. They're still hard, harder than any brick we can make today. Just fantastic. The Ishtar Gate, the bricks were tiled. Beautiful colors. You can't imagine what a beautiful city it must have been. But in any event, this nation of Babylon, they had overrun Israel, destroyed the temple. Those that they didn't kill, they left the old people there, and they took the youngest and strongest and the best educated back to Babylon. And in the court of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel and 3 companions ended up because they were young, they were strong, they were well educated. We read they were men of science, and so they would be valuable in the king. They made eunuchs out of them, put them in charge of the eunuch. And there they were to serve. We read here that the king had a dream, and his wise men couldn't interpret the dream. So he issued an order that if they couldn't tell him what he dreamed, he had forgot the dream. If they couldn't tell him what he dreamed, and then the interpretation, that they were all going to be chopped up into little pieces, and their homes, their houses, would be made dunghills. So Daniel and his 3 companions were included in the wise men. So they took aversion to being killed and chopped up. So they went to God in prayer, and God revealed them the dream. And Dr. Spargimino, would you tell us what the king dreamed?
Well, okay, here is what Daniel is recorded as having said, and I'm reading from Daniel 2, verse 31 and following. He says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image." And remember, as you've pointed out, the king said, "I don't remember what it was," but now Daniel knows exactly what the king saw, a great image. "This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands." And that's a very important point. It was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, as you well know, Dr. Hutchings, we're told that the meaning of the king's dream would have prophetic significance from the generation of Daniel to the very end of the age. That means that we're involved in it. It would hold a lesson for us today. You know, I think it's interesting if you were to ask most of the seminary graduates or modernistic preachers today what lesson the image of this dream would have for us today, they'd probably say, well, don't build statues with clay feet and watch out for those falling rocks. Now, of course, that's not really the main message of the dream, but this is all the prophetic word means to a vast majority of clerics today, because they are carnally minded and they cannot discern the revelations of God. They have no interest in prophecy. They don't want to be, quote, controversial. But here we see that this is a message from God given to through Daniel and interpreted by Daniel, but it pertains to us even today. And my, just having an interest in the Bible, I would want to understand what God has revealed here.
Certainly. Now, how do we know that this dream is still in effect today, still being fulfilled? Well, it ends, dream is terminated with a rock, not cut out with hands. Of course, we know that is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I have a statement, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we read that he is coming back. He will judge the nations with a rod of iron. So he's coming back to judge the nations like a great stone from heaven. And of his kingdom there will be no end, we read. So the stone is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has not come back yet. We expect him to come back any time, but he's not come back yet. So therefore, we know this dream that this old king dreamed, I say almost 2,600 years ago, is still in effect today. It's still being fulfilled. Now, this dream, the head was a head of gold on this dude. And I think that head was probably old King Nebuchadnezzar himself.
Right. He says, "Thou art this head of gold." That was King Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm sure, Dr. Hutchings, at that point, the king probably thought, man, that's what I really like. But, of course, Daniel didn't stop with the head of gold.
Yeah, but going on down the image, we read here that the arms and chest were silver, not gold. Now, that indicates that the Babylonian kingdom was going to be defeated or taken over by another empire. The Babylonian kingdom was not going to last forever. There would be another kingdom that would take over the Babylonian empire. And when did that happen?
That was in 538 B.C., the Medo-Persian Empire. Actually, it went from 538 B.C. to 333 B.C., at which time we have the Grecian Empire. And, of course, one of the most famous figures of all military history is Alexander the Great.
Now, the Medo-Persian Empire, what nations would that comprise today?
That would involve modern Iran and going on into Afghanistan, that region there, and some people think even a part of Pakistan.
Yes, and possibly it could have been included even part of Turkey. But it mainly was Medo-Persia, that was Afghanistan and modern Iran. It could have included a little more territory, but that happened in 538 B.C.
That's right.
Yes, we get into more details about that. Belshazzar, who was king then, was mocking the king and drinking wine out of the holy vessels from the temple. And hand appeared on the wall and said, "Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanted." And the Medo-Persian army, while they were all having a big feast there in the temple and drinking and not paying to the attention of the kingdom or the danger, they diverted the course of the Euphrates River as it flowed under the walls of Babylon and came under the walls and took over the city in one night. The people of Babylon woke up next morning and their king had been killed and they had a new government in power. Now that was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Now we read that the Medo-Persian kingdom expanded and even had 120 governors later. So, and I've been down to Petra, and there's evidence of the Medo-Persian Empire down there. That's in southern Jordan. The Medo-Persian kingdom expanded and really became a great empire and absorbed not only what was Persia and Iraq and Afghanistan today, but much more territory. But did that kingdom last forever?
No, it went on until 333 B.C., and of course the next figure was Alexander the Great, who came, and we know that, of course, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian Josephus relates that the king of the Persian Empire did not consider Alexander to be a serious threat. And I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," and that certainly applies to the king of Persia. But at that point, he didn't think that that was a serious problem that he had to worry about.
No, of course, Josephus brings out that Daniel was one of the greatest prophets and was much respected. And he was given a palace in his old age by the Medes and the Persians. And the kings respected Daniel because said his prophecies came to pass, not only those that was yet future, but those in his own lifetime would come. In 333 B.C., Alexander, of course his dad Philip was a great king also, Macedonia. He continually fought with the Medo-Persian Empire back and forth. He had a big problem, and young Alexander, he was schooled in the art of war, and he developed a new art of war called the phalanx, where he had to take a smaller armor and defeat a bigger armor. And the Medo-Persians heard that he had invaded, come across the straits there from Greece into what is now Turkey, and the king of Persia sent out an army of 1 million. To meet Alexander's army. And there along the coast in southern Turkey, I think it was at Susus, the Medo-Persian thought they had him conquered up, but he slipped out during the night and led his entire army inland and caught the Medo-Persian army next to the sea and killed almost 1 million-man Medo-Persian army. And that brought an end to the Medo-Persian kingdom, though. So now then we have the empire represented by Greece here, brass, the hips, thighs and hips of brass. But Alexander didn't last very long.
No, he certainly didn't. In fact, he died as a young man, and after his death, his empire was divided into four divisions. Each of his top military generals were given a province. Each province was soon ruled by different types of governments, and in the extremity of the Grecian age, Greece itself was very corrupt and it was downtrodden. And so even that just passed from the scene. And of course, it's just, I think it's a very important lesson to every nation. Every nation prides itself on being the greatest, being the best. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've accomplished. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And of course, after that empire came the fourth empire, which is really the most important one in Daniel chapter 2.
Yes, that was the legs of iron. Now, the head of gold was Babylon, the breast and thighs of silver, Medo-Persia, the thighs of brass was Greece. Now we come on down to the image of the legs of iron. And remember, there were two legs. After the weakening of the Grecian kingdom into four parts, and later on, that kingdom became so weak in its divided part that to the west on the Italian peninsula, that was a volcanic area, and several tribes later began to come into that part as the volcanic activity subsided and settled there. And there were several divisions of these tribes. So in order to have a united kingdom, they met in what they called a Senate. And of course, we have the tales of the Caesars of Rome. But it was the Iron Kingdom. Their metals were of iron. And we know that their law was absolute, or it's called the Iron Law of Rome. And they had a hassle with Hannibal over on Carthage a while and his elephants. And when they got rid of him, the Roman Empire, their armies started marching eastward into the Middle East, into what is now Greece, and into Israel and Syria and all the way over to India. Alexander made his mistake of trying to conquer too far to the east, took his army over into India, and he got bogged down and mosquitoes and snakes, and he tried to make it back to Babylon. He did, but he died, and that's when his empire fell. And four generals took over. And now we come to about what date, Larry?
Now we're coming to about 160 B.C., which is the fourth kingdom. Daniel 2 and verse 40 says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." Now I think it's very interesting if we look at the legs of iron. It says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron." In the chronological order of empires, the Iron Kingdom, or Rome, was to break up into pieces, and each iron piece would represent a nation. In other words, the Roman Empire has never ceased to exist. It is simply broken up into various independent nations. And the preservation, of course, of the Roman dictatorial form of government is evident today. We see that, you know, as we look at history, as we look at Germany, as we look at Russia. Germany named its king Kaiser, which is German for Caesar. Russia named its king Tsar, which is Russian for Caesar. The Bolshevik Revolution, which was taken over by the communists, replaced the government of Russian czars with a system of commissars, or communist leaders. So, you know, this empire has been broken up, but it's continued to have a tremendous influence on the world and on the current scene.
Yes, you had Rome in the west and the Byzantine Empire in the east. Finally, I think in about 1400, Rome, the western division, fell about 550 A.D. And it broke up into many parts, and later the Byzantine Empire. We look at the parts that it broke up into: the British Empire, the Italian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Netherlands Empire, the Spanish Empire, and the German Empire and the Danish Empire and the French Empire. And we read on that Rome, in its broken condition into all these empires, would tread down the whole world, which it did. Now, you take the British Empire and the French Empire and the Spanish Empire over on all North and South America, the British Empire, all of Africa practically, and the other empires over in the Middle East and the islands of the sea. The Roman Empire, in its broken state into all these other empires, did tread down the whole world. But that's not the end of the story, because we read that these empires would be broken up further into smaller pieces. And we're going to get into that tomorrow and tell you who these smaller pieces are today and what is going to happen to them and how all this is going to culminate in another one world empire at the time the Lord comes. But this is a fascinating story. Every part of this prophecy, starting in about 500 BC, here in this great image, is come to pass exactly as prophesied. Therefore, we can be certain that the rest of the prophecy is going to come to pass. And so we're going to continue on the rest of this prophetic story tomorrow. Now, if you would like a copy of our book on Daniel, here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call or the address to write.
The number is 1-800-652-1144. The mailing address, Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Third way to contact us for the book is the Internet. Our website address is swrc.com. The 308-page book, Daniel the Prophet, is available as our gift to show our appreciation to those who contribute $15 in the United States, $17 in Canada. Brother Hutchings wrote the original book several years ago, but since things are moving so quickly toward the fulfillment of not only Daniel's prophecies, but others in Scripture, he has updated the book. So, even if you have the old one, you'll want to get the new one. This series of programs will take 8 days to complete, and you can get all of them on CD or tape. They're available for an offering of $25 in the U.S., $27 in Canada. Number to call for the book or the programs is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. Brother Hutchings' commentary is written about the life, times, and prophecies of Daniel, a man believers in today's world would do well to emulate. He was not only a prophet, but also a man of God who would not compromise, as you'll learn from Daniel the prophet. Don't miss getting your copy of this important book. We want to welcome two new stations in Illinois. They are WEGN in Kankakee and WSWS in the Vandalia area. And we'd love to hear from those of you listening over these fine stations. Give us a call at 1-800-652-1144. Call centers open from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening, Central Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Stay right where you are over most of these stations for a Bible in the News report. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. Here with today's report is Carol Rushton.
The current economic situation in the U.S. grabs the headlines of most American newspapers and websites. While important, we must keep our eyes on Iran, who is positioning itself as a major influence not only in the Middle East but also throughout the world. Iran is acquiring allies to help achieve its goal of world domination. Iran, part of ancient Persia, has never had an alliance or diplomatic ties with Russia until recently. Not only is Russia helping to build Iran's nuclear power plants, Russia often supports Iran and other Middle Eastern Islamic dictatorships in the United Nations, vetoing UN resolutions that would censure or sanction these countries. According to a news item on the Tehran Times website on September 25, 2011, Iran is considering developing a joint missile defense shield with Russia and China. Iran, Russia, China mulling joint missile shield asserts that all three are worried that the future NATO missile defense shield will be used by the U.S. not to protect allies in Europe and the Middle East, but to threaten Russia and China. The article says that Dmitry Rogozin, the Russian envoy to NATO who is scheduled to travel to Iran before the end of September, will probably hold operational discussions on the plan with Iranian officials. A corresponding article on the Atlantic Council website, dated September 6, 2011, confirms the visit by the Russian envoy. Russian ambassador to update Iran on NATO's missile defense program says Russia's ambassador to NATO announced on Friday plans to travel to Iran later this month to discuss its ballistic missile program and the U.S.-led missile shield in Europe. But in a September 30, 2011 news article on the Russian website RIA Novosti, Rogozin suddenly denied any of this. Russia's envoy to NATO on Friday dismissed as false media reports that Russian-Iran plan to set up a joint missile defense shield as a counterweight to a similar system planned by NATO in Europe. We can only hold talks on such a sensitive issue that relates to our strategic security and national nuclear forces with our military allies. Iran is our neighbor, our partner in many issues, but not a military ally, Rogozin insisted. Russia and Iran may not have a formal military alliance, but Russia would not be helping Iran develop their nuclear power program, knowing this is going to be used by Iran to develop a nuclear weapon unless both countries had similar military interests. Russia's veto of a UN resolution to condemn Syria for killing its citizens makes it clear Russia has an anti-Israel, pro-Arab stance in the Middle East. Russia has supplied Iran with various weapons over the last decade. Iran is now producing cruise missiles, advanced combat helicopters, and a stealth aircraft detection system. Iran is getting help from somewhere, and all signs point to Russia and probably China as well. Thousands of years ago, Ezekiel 38 foretells a pact between the unlikely allies of Persia, now Iran, and Russia to attack Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them. Ezekiel 38:3-5.
That's today's Bible in the News report of Southwest Radio Ministries. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or go online. The website is swrc.com. Be here for our next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.